Turn with Dave Mularkey. 724-283-2525. It's Butler County's only live call-in talk show. It's Your Turn on 680 AM WISR and worldwide on the internet at WISR680.com. It's Your Turn, 724-283-2525. And now, it's Your Turn with Dave Mularkey.
Good afternoon once again, everyone. Welcome. Nice to have you with us wherever you're listening, whether it's on your radio here locally in western Pennsylvania or online in other states or other countries. We do have people listening all over via the internet as we stream this program, so welcome. If you're not in western Pennsylvania, let me tell you that you're lucky weather-wise, because it's a really ugly day here. This is just so typical, stereotypical of November. It's dreary, it's wet, and it's chilly, and we're expecting some snow later today. Aren't you lucky that you're not here? However, we have a great program today, and we're going to be talking with several guests on the initial segment of the program about a new logo for Butler Township, new branding, if you will. And we'll be talking a little bit later with Dave Zarnick, Butler Township Commissioner, about why the township thought this was an important thing to do. But they have partnered up with the students at Slippery Rock University, and on the first portion of this segment, we're going to be talking with three of the students who have been involved in this branding and logo project. So, without any further ado, let me introduce the students who are with us. I'm going to go around the table here. Hopefully, I won't get mixed up. Kevin Reisner is here. Kevin, nice to meet you. Nice to have you here today.
Nice to meet you, too. Thanks for having us.
Also, Patrick Sennett. Patrick, same thing. Good to see you.
Pleasure to be here.
And Emerson Brown. Hi, Emerson. Nice to have you here as well.
Nice to be here.
All of you are in the same class, right?
Correct.
Slippery Rock University. Kevin, what's the name of the class?
It's called PR and IMC Campaigns, capstone class.
That's quite a handful.
Yeah. It's our final stretch in graduating.
I see. So you're all seniors then,
I take it?
Yeah. So this will be the kind of the wrap-up of your major. Is everybody in the same major, communications, I assume?
Yeah.
Yeah. I need you to get a little closer to that microphone for me there.
Okay.
Yeah, just lift it up a little bit. There you go. That'll keep my engineer happy. Thank you. So how many times a week does this class meet, Patrick?
We meet technically two times a week, one time on Thursday nights for class, just, you know, to figure out what our next assignment is for each individual group, because there's three groups within the class who are doing completely different things. But on Tuesday nights, our specific group, we meet together just once we get the assignment, just kind of working together, seeing what we need to work on, who does what, and figure out what we need to do with our clients.
Mm-hmm. So three different groups, Emerson?
Yes.
Doing what? I assume they all have different responsibilities?
Yes. So each group has a different client. So our client is the Butler Township, and then two of the other groups have two different clients, and then they have different assignments relating to what their client is asking for.
Mm-hmm. Well, I assume, Kevin, the first thing that you did was meet with officials from Butler Township, commissioners and others, and say, so what are you thinking here? Let's get our heads together, right?
Yeah. So they pretty much pitched us the idea that they want to rebrand Butler. They have this logo that seems a little outdated, and they want to modernize it. And they also have what's it called?
Welcome packet.
They have a welcome packet that it's not very consistent, and they want to make it more modernized and make it more cleaner.
Mm-hmm. What was the first step after you realize what the client, in this case Butler Township, is looking for? How do you start such a project?
So first thing we did was we had a focus group in the Butler Municipal Building, and we brought nine Butler Township residents and non-residents, and we talked about what they'd like to see in the Butler Township logo, such as like the symbols they want and some colors they'd like to see.
Mm-hmm. I can remember we did a news story on that. So this would have been back Probably in August like, or September yeah, when you were September. Getting underway.
September 20th, yeah.
Did all of you, so. Patrick, participate in that session?
Yes, we had all four of our group members with us. We had, like Kevin said, the nine residents and non-residents. So kind of what we went through is just first we asked people to say, you know, like if they were able to describe the Butler Township logo or not, and, you know, mm-hmm. not a lot of people were able to from some of the other research that Kevin did online. And so we just kind of had, you know, face-to-face discussion to say, you know, what would you like to see? What would you like to change? Like, or basically, how would you want to be represented as a township? What do you want to see in the new logo? And so it was about a 40-minute conversation, but we learned a lot from just that small amount of people.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk a little bit with anybody. I'll ask Emerson first about the importance of a logo, because a lot of people might kind of brush this off and say, what the heck, who cares, does this really matter? Oh, but it does, doesn't it?
Yes, and a logo is a very important aspect of any company or brand. Having a logo is important to first, that's usually the first thing that a lot of people will see is the logo. And from that, they kind of make their first judgment of what is the company. A lot of the times a logo will represent, if it's, say, a store or for this instance, a township. So it just shows exactly what the company or the group or the organization is. And then from that logo, it should have a consistent look, colors, and style that kind of represents, again, what the organization is and what they do. So it's definitely probably, it's very, very important because it's usually the first thing that a person notices or sees.
So you had this focus group meeting. It was one night. Is that what that
was?
Yeah,
it was on a Friday afternoon, yeah.
And then you took this information back to the university and did what, Patrick? What did you do?
What we did after that, once we got all the information from that, kind of transcribing everything that we learned, Kevin actually took all that together and made an online survey, an initial one to post on the Facebook page, just kind of getting more input from, it was kind of like the same kind of questions, like, could you describe it if you were asked to, what new colors do you want to see? What do you think you should have to be represented? We had about 117 responses.
113.
And so we compiled all those after that and just kind of went from there with, all right, so people from the focus group and the surveys wanted to see more family-oriented kind of images, you know, like family going towards the future, just like, I don't want to say like a rebirth of Butler Township, but just kind of like stepping into the next generation for like mm-hmm. the next group of families that come into the township. And so we got that from the survey and just kind of went from there. And then we had our campaign proposal for our clients, the commissioners, after we got those surveys and just kind of saying, this is what we've gotten from this, and this is how we want to proceed.
Does Butler Township have a logo now?
They do.
Yeah.
Did you show that to people in the focus group?
During the focus group and during the surveys that we did, we asked if people could, like, say what the logo is, if they know what the logo is.
Mm-hmm.
And 67% of the people that we surveyed said they couldn't describe the logo
That's
all.
That's two-thirds.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I'm looking at it right now, and I'm not quite sure what it is either. It looks like a guy digging out from under a hat. Is that what it is? Emerson's laughing at me.
Yeah, it's really, we aren't quite sure. A guy with a shovel,
and it looks like there's a 10-gallon hat there or something.
Yeah, so, and there's a child and a dog in the background kind of like running on the road, and I've heard some people say, making the jokes, you know, the child and the dog are running away from the guy who's digging it, just kind of. Not the best look for them.
I see that now, too. But if you hadn't told me what that was, I wouldn't have known. Now, I'm not necessarily – I have no idea who created this logo. I don't mean to denigrate it that much. But I'm actually surprised that one-third of your respondents knew what it was.
No. One-third knew what it was? Yeah. Two-thirds, no clue what the logo was.
Mm-hmm. And the colors, by the way, are kind of – terracotta, red, and brown, and yellow.
Yeah, so we asked the question what logos people would like to see, and 72% of the respondents said blue. Oh. They want to see blue and shades of blue.
I suppose I'm not telling you anything when there's a science of color, when it involves logos and such things as Well, fast food restaurants would be a good example. Did you ever wonder why they're all yellow or orange or a combination thereof?
I heard that it's...
Think about it now. Yeah. McDonald's, Taco Bell, Burger King, Wendy's. Yeah, they're all that color.
Yes, they
are. It's been shown that that draws people in and says, oh, it looks like a nice warm place to go eat. So blue was a...
Yeah.
Now, blue is generally a restful color, peaceful color.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I can understand that. So you had the focus group. You got additional input from the Facebook page. And then did you try to get together with the four of you on this team, right?
Yes.
And what do you do from there, Patrick?
What we did from there after the campaign was approved by our clients, we started making the new logos that we gathered the information from the focus group and survey. Mm-hmm. And I believe it was two Fridays ago we met with our clients just to show them the new ideas that we had come up with. And I don't know if Emerson showed you any of them yet.
And she did. She shared them with me. Mm-hmm. They're quite fabulous. Who did the design work on
that's
these?
All her.
You did, Emerson.
Yeah, so really? I'm the designer in the group.
Wow. Is this what you hope to do as a career later on?
I do have a minor in graphic design in addition to the major of integrated marketing. Mm-hmm. So hopefully.
Now, can you get those out again and let me refresh my memory? You showed them to me very briefly. They're quite attractive. These are three possible options.
Correct.
Mm-hmm. And they all of them show people in action, right? Either walking or riding a bicycle or something like that.
Correct.
And in all of them, there's an adult and a younger person. Well, let's put it this way, a tall person and a shorter person. It would indicate kind of, I don't know, the image that I get from it is, hey, we're a family place.
Right.
We're family friendly here. And there's lots of recreational possibilities. And lo and behold, there's lots of green and blue in these logos, which was recommended by the focus group. So what was the reaction when you showed these to Butler Township officials?
They, for the most part, really, really enjoyed them. There were a few changes that we made. I came in with many more than that, just to kind of see the direction, what they were liking, what they didn't like as much. And I ended up then tweaking them a little bit and adapting them to more so what they want. But I tried to incorporate, obviously, the people, the sense of community, and that it is welcoming, and that they're welcoming to the future and to new residents and everything like that.
So I'm interested in the process. Do you just start doodling on your laptop? Is that how you come up with these?
Yeah, so for the most part, initially, it was great to have the focus group and the survey because I'm not a resident of Butler or anywhere really close, so I don't necessarily know the environment of the township. So it was nice to have a good background of what people were wanting, what they felt defined the township, and what they really wanted to be highlighted in the logo. And then from there, I did a lot of just looking for inspiration. I usually go to Pinterest or Google and just look up other township logos to kind of see, oh, what are their ideas, what kind of layout do they have? And then from there, I got some ideas. Do I want it open? Did I want it closed off? And then for the most part, yeah, doodling from there. I start on paper. And then from there, if I find something I like, I'll put it on the computer and then manipulate it that way until I find what I want.
Do you have sessions midway in the design process where you show this to the other students and say, hey, what do you think?
There was a few times at our meetings, I was like, this is the one I made. What do you think? And then from there, I adapted those.
Mm-hmm. And then eventually you take them to the client, in this case, Butler Township.
Right.
And was there a clear favorite, or did they look around and mumble a little bit, or what happened?
It was actually very interesting. So in the office, they asked around the other employees of the office to see what they liked, and it was interesting. Some people really liked one, other people really liked another. They liked aspects of different ones. So although there is one that they seem to like more so, it definitely is dependent upon the person. So I'm curious to see what the survey results say.
What's the next step? What happens next, Kevin?
So we're going to conduct another survey with the three logos that we have, and the survey is basically you're going to vote on which logo you like the best. And
this will be, you're talking about an online survey?
Yeah, so on the Butler Township Facebook page, there's going to be a link to a survey, where people can go to this survey and you can vote which logo you like the best. And hopefully by the end of it, we have a clear winner and we can present the findings to our clients.
The township commissioners, however, I assume will have the final say on this, right? I mean, these are the elected officials.
Yes.
They may be swayed heavily by the Facebook voting, and on the other hand, they may say, well, maybe we'll consider this a little bit longer.
Yeah. At the end of the day, it's their decision. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then this would be used on, gosh, letterhead, signage, I guess, everywhere, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that new signage out front of the municipal building.
Have any of you done this before? Or
no.
This is new.
First time.
Have you studied it, though, in class previously?
We've studied some marketing strategies and things of that nature, but this is our first time doing this.
Mm-hmm. And when I was in undergraduate school, we would have called this kind of like a practicum, you know, where, okay, let's put what we've been studying to actual use and see what happens.
Yeah.
Emerson's looking very pleased. You must have liked the way this came out, huh?
Yes, it was definitely a difficult process at first. I really was like, well, I don't know what direction I want to go in. And then once I started to really buckle down and do a lot of research and put stuff together, I was pleased with how they ended up coming out.
Mm-hmm. So you'll have the Facebook online. It's going to be on Facebook?
Yes.
Let people vote for this?
Yeah, it's going to be on the Butler Township Facebook page.
Will that be the end of your responsibility, or will you be meeting with municipal officials again, or... How does it all wrap up?
We will be again. The survey, which actually is going live today, will be going on till the 16th, so about 9 days. Like Kevin says, it's on the Facebook page. It will also be on the township's page online itself. So if you would want to go there, if you don't have a Facebook. So once we get the results from that, we would meet again with our clients just to say this is one of the clear winners, or like this one has the lead. So we can go from there, and like you said, like they have the ultimate say in which one they want. But at the end of the class, we kind of pull everything together that we've done so far after the campaign was approved, some of the written documents, so that way in the future, whenever it is implemented, the press releases, radio releases, you know, news articles, that way that once we graduate, they have all the documents so that they can move forward with that whenever they see fit.
We've got to wrap up pretty quickly because you two guys are graduating next month, right?
About 36 days.
You wouldn't have that down to the day, would you, I guess?
I checked this morning, yeah.
Winter commencement, what is that, mid-December, early December?
December 14th.
December 14th, yeah. Terrific. Can I ask before we take a break here where you're all from, Kevin?
I'm from Gibsonia.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not too far away.
No.
At Slippery Rock. What about you, Patrick?
I'm from the Ross Township area, so about 10 minutes outside downtown Pittsburgh.
North Hills, yeah. And Emerson?
I am from Lebanon County. It's about 30 minutes past Hershey, Pennsylvania.
Oh, yes. I know where that is. Yeah, it's out toward Pennsylvania Dutch country, huh?
Correct. Definitely correct.
How did you end up matriculating to Slippery Rock University from Lebanon County?
So my mom's, she's a really close family friend. She graduated from Slippery Rock and always talked so highly of it. So when I was in the search for colleges, I came and visited and fell in love with the campus and ended up deciding to go there.
Great. Well, listen, we're going to switch around here because we have other guests to come in. Obviously, we have limited space here at the table and microphones. So thanks for giving us the background here. Stick around. We're going to take a break for a couple of minutes and we have another student to talk to. We want to talk with a professor that heads up this class. And Butler Township Commissioner Dave Zornick is here as well. And we'll find out why the township decided to do this in the first place. So more to come. Stick around for the Thursday edition of It's Your Turn. We'll be back in just a couple of minutes.
From great breakfast specials to hosting holiday parties, Michael's Restaurant is the place to be in Butler County. Start your day with a satisfying breakfast, then begin planning a holiday party at Michael's. They have a party room for approximately 20 people for Christmas parties or family get-togethers. Call today to reserve your date. Pumpkin pies and apple dumplings are now available.
That frightening sound is one we hear quite often throughout the day. Our heart quickens and immediately we wonder what happened. A medical emergency can be frightening. Every tick of the clock crucial. And that's why Butler Ambulance Service is dedicated to be there with every ounce of care possible. Butler Ambulance Service is within minutes of providing you or a loved one with treatment and transportation. Call 282-9595 to find out more. Butler Ambulance Service is a phone call away from serving you.
In 2019, Tri-River celebrates 25 years as your Butler neighbor, providing exceptional musculoskeletal care in the community.
Hi, I'm Dr. Tom Mazzanegro, known by many as Dr. Muzzy, and I'm an orthopedic hip and knee surgeon. Patients do best when they are engaged with the process, educated, and invested in their own well-being. At Tri-Rivers, the patient is at the center of everything we do.
To learn more or to schedule an appointment, visit TriRiversMSK.com or call 1-866-
866-874-7483. Welcome back, good friends. We're talking about this interesting subject, something that we've never discussed on the program before. A local municipality deciding that they wanted to do a little bit of rebranding and get a new logo. In this case, it's Butler Township. Butler Township Commissioner Dave Zarnick is with us. Commissioner, good to see you.
Thank you, Dave. Good to see you.
I haven't seen you. I haven't talked with you in a while.
It's been a while.
So let's talk about the importance of this. Why did Butler Township officials decide that this would be an important step to take?
Well, as we looked around our community, we see how Butler Township is changing. As you see, we're getting some new businesses in the township that are remodeling. They're changing. They're trying to get in with the new. And Butler Township looked around, and we thought, maybe it's time for us to look at our logo, how it identifies us, and see how we could progress.
Mm-hmm.
And it was interesting from the survey, we found out that, first of all, a lot of people did not even know we had a logo, and secondly, they did not know what it was.
Mm-hmm.
So we thought, let's make a change.
These are nice ideas, don't they?
They are. Yeah. And how could we not pass up this opportunity to work with these students?
Yeah. Well, another student is with us, and it's Kelly Minster. Kelly, I didn't mean to separate you from your classmates, but I didn't have enough microphones to put everybody on at the same time.
That's so okay.
Nice to have you here.
You
were on
here.
This team, right?
Yep.
For the four students. Did you have particular responsibilities during this developmental process?
Yeah, I'm actually the writer. So I'm in charge of all the writing material, like press releases, radio readers, media alert, all that kind of stuff.
So it was you that wrote that press release that we read weeks ago whenever you were going to have that focus group, huh?
No, that was actually the Butler Eagle. One of their I did not write that, so.
Ah.
Yeah, that was actually them.
But you've written other material.
I have, yes.
Were you involved at all in the design process, helping Emerson?
Not much. A little feedback here and there, but that was all her, pretty much, mm-hmm. all her decisions and stuff. We helped her out, though, feedback and everything.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk with Professor Allison Pyrich, who you have this class, right?
I do.
And it's within the department. I'm not sure. When I was in undergraduate school, there was a separate department of School of Communication. Is it that way at Slippery Rock as well? Or?
Our Department of Communication is actually housed within Slippery Rock University's College of Business. So we're in the Business College.
Mm-hmm. And these students are all obviously all in your class. There are other students, I guess, who are undertaking similar projects with different clients?
Yeah, absolutely. So as was mentioned at the beginning of our discussion, this class is called PR and IMC Campaigns Capstone. So it is the last course that this group of students and two other groups of students will matriculate through as part of their undergraduate studies. And I think you had hinted, it's the opportunity for these students to put to work everything that they've learned in their undergraduate studies, whether that's research or writing or design. And we think that it's really important that they're able to put their learnings to work for a real client, because it's one thing to exercise your technical knowledge in class and through your assignments. It's another thing when you're working with real people who represent real organizations and have a vested interest in that organization. So we've been lucky enough to partner with the Butler Township Commissioners a number of times. This is actually the third project that we've worked on with the Township Commissioners. We had the pleasure of working with them on two projects in our spring semester. One was a project to educate township residents about a new waste management program, and the mm-hmm. other was a firefighter recruitment program. But to answer your question, I have two other groups in this class who are working on two other assignments. One is for a nonprofit social justice advocacy group in Hazelwood called the Center of Life. And then the other is the YMCA of Newcastle.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm particularly interested in logos, not that I study them late at night or anything like that. But, you know, there are some fabulous ones that a lot of people don't even realize the message that they're getting. One of my favorites is FedEx. Is everyone familiar with the FedEx logo? Maybe you study this. I don't know. There's an arrow in the FedEx logo that is very, very subtle. But once you tell somebody that it's in there, then they say, oh, yes. But it means, you know, we deliver. You know what I'm talking about,
Absolutely. Of course.
Absolutely.
And once you see it, you can't unsee it.
And what are some of the other ones? Tostitos, the snack. The double T in the middle is actually two people holding hands there, you know. Very subtle. But there's a lot of psychology in these things.
Absolutely.
And a lot of money, as a matter of fact. I remember you might know this story, Commissioner, the current PennDOT logo created some controversy because they paid, I don't know, $1 million or something like that for some company to design this logo. And it's on the back of all the PennDOT trucks and everything. It's the one with the green ball coming out of the yellow square. And every time I see that, I think, my gosh. If they had asked me to do that, I could have knocked something out in an afternoon, you know, and I wouldn't have charged $1 million either. By the way, is the money that changes hands in this operation, or is it just considered a student project?
Absolutely no money changes hands for this particular project or any of the projects that we have in our course. The real benefit for our students is, again, getting to work with a client. And one of the things that I do is I recruit clients for this class. Sometimes I get requests based on word of mouth from previous clients, but one of the I think maybe attractive selling qualities of working with a group of students is that it is free work.
Yeah. So you're not going to pay $1 million for this, Commissioner?
I wouldn't be sitting here, Dave, if we did.
I love these, really. Do you have a favorite? Are you able to say that? Or
I do have a favorite, yes.
Mm-hmm. So do I.
I don't want to sway the vote, though, so we'll wait.
Okay, well, I guess I shouldn't say anything either. Although I really like this one. Everybody's looking.
Yes.
This one here. Is that a favorite among any of the designers? Emerson is saying, well, maybe not, Dave. I don't know. This one I have a little bit of trouble picking out because of the color combination. You know, it's like, you know, on Thursday night NFL football, the NFL makes teams wear these stupid uniforms that are all the same color. And the first time they did it, they had one team in blue and green and one team in red. And people you couldn't even tell which team was which. So, okay, I'm not sure on that one. It would be one of these two for me. I like the idea of multiple people, person on a bicycle, people walking. We've got Preston Park now. We've got Sawmill Run Park in Butler Township, Commissioner.
That's correct.
These are big things. It shows the way the township is changing.
Alameda Park is in the township. You know it's owned by the county, so there's a lot of parks close by into our township.
So what do you think, Kelly?
I have a favorite, for sure, yeah.
Not the one that I picked, huh?
It was, actually, yeah.
There you go.
Your favorite is also my favorite.
You and I, Kelly.
Yeah.
You and I. By the way, before I forget to ask, because I chatted with your fellow classmates, you're obviously a senior, too. Will you be graduating in December or not until the spring?
No, I'm graduating in December, so home stretch.
Anything lined up yet after undergraduate school?
No. I'm looking. I'm starting to apply for stuff, so we'll see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What's your dream job?
I'd love to work with an ice hockey team in their PR department. So that's the dream. That's the ultimate goal. So,
well, that's possible.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, you know, it's not just the National Hockey League. There's a lot of minor league teams
and so on
and so forth. You can start it in.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see.
You a hockey player?
No, lacrosse, actually.
Really?
Yeah. I've been playing since sixth grade. So, and I just finished my fourth year at Slippery Rock last spring.
Terrific.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where are you from?
Reading, Pennsylvania. It's closer to Philly, other side of the state.
Well, I know where it is. I had a lot of fraternity brothers from Philadelphia.
Oh.
So I ask you the same question I ask Emerson. How does someone from Reading, PA, take a ride on the Reading? Remember that from the old Monopoly game? How did someone from Reading end up at SRU?
Lacrosse, actually. I got an offer to play there, and I chose that one. It was the only Division II school that wanted me to play, so.
I've often wondered, because my athletic skills are extremely limited, other than golf, and it's pretty limited there, too. But how does someone manage an athletic career? Obviously, you played lacrosse for 2 years with all of the college studies. I would think that's extremely difficult.
Yeah, it was hard. Definitely in the spring, it was harder. I would sometimes take less classes because traveling, I would miss class all the time. And in the fall, it wasn't too bad. But in the spring, during our season, when I was traveling and everything, it was difficult. And sometimes I would just take like maybe one less class, so it was a little less of a workload. Mm-hmm. So.
Take a lot of discipline, huh?
Yeah.
Did that end up meaning that you had maybe to go an extra semester or something?
Yeah, that had a little bit to do with it, definitely, because it would be hard to take five or six classes in the spring. Mm-hmm. So.
Hard to do anything in the spring when the weather gets warm again.
That's also true.
So what's the timetable for Butler Township officials, Commissioner Dave Zarnick? Are you... Do your fellow commissioners, are they pretty pleased with this? They think they're probably going to move ahead on it?
Once the survey is done and we get the determination that we have a clear winner, then we will progress. We have not budgeted anything in this current budget for any changes.
Mm-hmm.
So we will take it for next year. Mm-hmm. But as we got to reviewing this, we did find that now is the time. Some of our signs outside were curling, were fading. They needed replaced. So the timing was perfect to take on this project.
Yes, there will be some expense involved. You don't have to do it all at once.
That's correct.
But as signs are replaced, we can utilize the new logo. Certainly on letterhead and envelopes and business cards, and those have to be changed on a regular basis anyway, as staff changes, employees change.
As elections
commissioners
come
change,
and go, yes.
Elections come and go. So those are changed pretty much routinely.
That's correct.
So that'll be able to, that won't be that much of an additional expense.
Not at all. And we couldn't, Butler Township could not pass up the opportunity to work with this group. As Allison said, the work is for free. These students gave of their time and effort. What would this cost us if Butler Township would have?
Hey, ask PennDOT.
Yes. So we're very fortunate that we're able to partner with Slippery Rock and participate in this program.
Can I talk about the other partnerships? I remember the one about the waste pickup, because that was fairly recent. Was that valuable to township officials?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. We were pleasantly surprised when we rolled that one out, and also the fire department retention, which we plan on progressively rolling out. But information that the students were able to put forth to the residents and explain to them what we were trying to do. So they did help us tremendously. It took a lot of people don't like change, as you know.
Mm-hmm.
The biggest obstacle to those cans, the color. Butler Township did not pick the color.
That's waste management colors. The recycling cans or the trash cans?
Both, the recycling can and the trash can. The lid on the on the recycle can is yellow. We had more calls over those cans than you could imagine.
Over a yellow lid?
That's correct.
Really?
Yes.
Well, you never know, I guess, huh?
People wanted to paint them. Could they buy, I guess they make pants they put over these cans now that you could dress your can up. So, yes. Change.
Everyone is kind of smiling here. I can't imagine a municipal revolt over the color of the trash can.
Yes.
It happens.
We were surprised too.
Listen, can you folks stay a couple of minutes longer? I've got to take a break here, and I have a couple of more questions. So we'll take a break, come back, and chat for a few more minutes with our guests here on It's Your Turn on WISR. Stick around. We'll be right back.
Tobacco for Less is Western PA's largest glass emporium, and they now have a store in Butler at Pullman Square Plaza. What makes Tobacco for Less different from other stores? For starters, they have so many glass pipes to choose from. They also feature a walk-in humidor and a vape juice bar. And of course, they carry a variety of standard tobacco products too. The Tobacco for Less Health and Wellness Department stocks a large selection of high-quality CBD products. For all your smoking and vaping needs, check out Tobacco for Less with locations in Butler, Sharon, and Aliquippa.
They're back!
So don't miss another night of raucous musical comedy when Connecting to Tomorrow hosts the Piano Maniacs for an encore performance. Saturday, November 16th at the Lindora American Legion. Tickets $20 each and the proceeds benefit C2T's teen mentoring programs. Doors open at 6, music starts at 7. It's BYOB, must be 21, food is available. Get tickets at the door, Butler County Radio Network, or Eventbrite online. And join C2T for some dueling piano fun.
Up to us, we're going your way. Getting there starts here. Just hop the bus, easy and economical. Just hop the bus, no car, no problem. The bus will get you there, 'cause that's what we do. Hop the bus, leave the driving up to us. We're going your way.
Like it or not, winter is coming. Not to worry, West End Tire and Service has over 400 snow tires in stock for cars and light-duty trucks. They also sell tires for large trucks, trailers, heavy equipment, skid loaders, backhoes, and more. With a vast selection of Cooper tires, West End Tire and Service prides itself on offering the same great installation and service as Siemens provided for years. Plus, they have the same great staff, too. Call 724-287-6973 or stop by West End Tire Service today, West Cunningham Street in Butler.
Welcome back, good friends. Wrapping up conversation. So great to have a number of students from Slippery Rock University here, all in the class of Professor Allison Pyrich. And I had a wonderful experience coming up with first researching, getting feedback, and then coming up with a potential new logo for Butler Township. Commissioner Dave Zarnick is here. Any timetable on this? There's nothing definite, I guess. Right?
Nothing definite, no. We will work it in as time and monies permit.
I just think they're wonderful. Really, any of the three finalists here, tremendous work by Emerson. I can't believe it. They're terrific. You're smiling, Professor.
I am smiling because, as you noted, most of these students are graduating, and it's always such a pleasure for me to watch them as they learn and grow. I'm laughing, but for better or for worse, I've had some of these students in three or I think even four classes, so I know them really well. And I know where their strengths are. So you're talking about Emerson and her work, and little shout out to her. She is easily one of the best designers in our program. So when the commissioners approached us in the summer and said, we are interested in a design project, it was a really easy decision to make. Because what they have not told you is that I look at each of the students, and I set up their team, so they don't get to choose who they're working with.
Did you all know each other before the team was formed, Kelly?
Yeah, I've had most of them in other classes, so it's kind of, as you go further into your major and you get into the higher classes, you're kind of stuck with the same people. So, not that that's a bad thing, but...
Valuable experience to this whole project?
Yeah, it's been really exciting. And it's been really cool seeing the work Emerson's been doing, because I'm not the greatest with design. So seeing her pull these out in like a couple of days was really exciting.
Well, I think the best thing would be in another year or so or whenever, if you get a letter from Butler Township and the new logo is at the top of the letterhead, you can smile and say, how about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
It's exciting.
And it doesn't even have a yellow lid.
No yellow.
Well, gosh, thanks for coming down on a rainy day and chatting with us here. This is very interesting for me and very informative, too.
Thanks for having us. We appreciate it.
My pleasure. Commissioner, good to see you.
Same way, Dave.
Not so long next time.
We'll make it a point to get to here.
Come in and chat.
We will do that.
Yeah. I have great admiration for Butler Township government, the way they've handled things, not just necessarily your administration, but over the past 15, 20 years. Measured growth.
Yes.
Handled pretty well, I think.
I would agree with you. I don't like to toot my own horn, but on that one, I will.
Okay, we'll take a break. We have more to come as we wrap up our Thursday edition of It's Your Turn here on WISR. So we'll take a break and be back to talk a little bit about history on the next segment. Back in just a couple of minutes.
Undoubtedly, the most influential band of all time was the Beatles, with 20 number one hits. Experience one of the top-rated Beatles tribute bands, A Hard Day's Night, at Tanglewood Center on Saturday, November 16th. Doors open at 6 o'clock. Dinner buffet by Chef George at 7, showtime at 8. Only $35. As always, it's BYOB. There's no doubt why this group was invited to Liverpool, England, to perform during International Beatles Week. For tickets, call Tanglewood at 287-0021.
The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot has delicious, all-natural, free-roaming turkeys and chickens to make your Thanksgiving meal special this year. Their birds are handled with extreme care and are preservative and additive-free. Buy your turkey frozen today or get it fresh right before the big holiday meal. For the tastiest turkeys and chickens in Western PA, call the Jones Turkey Farm, 724-352-2450, or visit jonesturkeyfarm.com. The Jones Turkey Farm in Cabot, quite simply the best.
And now, frozen sweet corn available too.
At Osterlings Lawn and Garden, they can't control the weather, but they can prepare you for it. With plenty of winter supplies, you will be set for the entire cold season. They have snow shovels, winter gloves, rock salt, calcium chloride flakes and pellets, and even paw-thaw snow melt that is safe for your pets. Don't forget their annual Black Friday sale this year with 50% off select items like muck boots, Rada cutlery, bird feeders, and a whole lot more. Visit Osterlings Lawn and Garden to get prepared for the cold winter weather.
Coming up on the It's Your Turn program, this segment, listeners, I'm Dave Malarkey, and our next guest joins us by telephone. Presidential election in 2020. Big battle. Many folks, however, are confused, and rightly so, by the labels that are tossed around on the news all the time. Socialist, libertarian, liberal, right-wing, left-wing. Well, there's a book that gives some historical understanding to these political movements. The title of the book is Killing History. The author is L.K. Samuels, and he is our guest for the next few minutes. Sir, nice to talk with you today.
Well, I'm happy to be aboard.
What inspired you to write this book, Killing History?
Because I've been seeing history being killed or destroyed. I've always loved history ever since I was a high school kid. And working on another book, I was going to have a little chapter about the political spectrum, but all of a sudden it got out of control and took off over my life for six years. So, I remember Orwell saying that if you want to control the future, you got to control the past first. And to do that, you got to destroy truth and a history of truth. And that's what we're seeing now. We're seeing a lot of that. It's been going on for some time.
So that's where the title comes from. It's an intriguing title, yes. Killing History.
Yes, yes, because of, you know, George Orwell saw that happen in Spain in 36. He went there to fight Franco. Instead, he was in a pitched battle, gun battle, between Stalinists and Trotskyites. And he knows that the Stalinists were changing history. He was calling the Trotskyites fascist, the Stalinist. And, communists always killing communists. You see communist country attacking communist country all the time, you know. So, and that's how he got his ideas for 1984 and Animal Farm.
Do you think that people today here in our society really understand what it means to be a libertarian or a fascist or a liberal?
No, they don't. I mean, a lot of people, you know, it's hard enough just surviving, you know, every day from day to day. The real problem here is, you know, the history professors in many of the colleges. And I always said, if you want to find a Marxist, you know, a hardcore Marxist, go to the history department. You're not going to find him in engineering. You know, in engineering, you have reality you butt against. You do something wrong, and it's going to all break. You know, with history, you can make it any way you want it.
So do you think most people actually know where they fall on the political spectrum, sir?
No, not really, because it's been distorted so much. I mean, the old political spectrum, that probably comes out of World War II, says that one polar extreme is Marxism, and another polar extreme is fascism. And, of course, that's crazy, because if you're in the middle between those two, that means you're half fascist, half Marxist. Mm-hmm. What the people need to know is that that fascism came out of Marxism. And there's a lot of historians have said that. Sternhell, O.J. Greger from UC Berkeley. It's just a variant of Marxism. It's just a revision of Marxism. You know, I mean, Mussolini, just look at Mussolini. He was a communist for 2 decades. He ran around with Lenin, Trotsky in Switzerland, and Trotsky called him his best student. And he was a Marxist and a fascist for 6 years.
Wow.
He started up the Fascist Revolutionary Party, and then he supported Lenin's Communist Revolution, and criticized Lenin for not being Marxist enough. And then when he ran for an elected position in Italy in 1919, and again, under his Fascist Revolutionary Party, he campaigned, slogan was, "I'm the Lenin of Italy." The Lenin of Italy. That doesn't sound like an anti-communist.
No, it doesn't. Well, let's talk some practicalities here as we gear up for a presidential election year. Can you talk about some of the ways that people can educate themselves on the political climate of today? I think most people want to be able to make a good choice, an educated choice, with the coming presidential election. Can you talk about that, sir?
Well, yeah. I would just pick people who actually believe in the Bill of Rights. There's a lot of people calling themselves liberals that don't. You know, that's why I call myself a classical liberal. I'm, you know, a Jeffersonian, John Locke liberal. Pick the people that's not going to go towards the fascist, Marxist ideology. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, but, you know, Bernie, for example, I mean, I almost, every time I hear him speak, I almost fall over because they say, hey, Hitler beat you to the punch. You know, he was talking about government-sponsored job for everybody. He was talking, he brought around rent control. We have rent control in California now. And in 1933, rent control for the whole German, you know, state. In fact, Bernie, when he was a mayor, he said, we should get rid of private charity. Government should only run it. Well, guess what Hitler did in 1933? He banned all NGOs. No private charity. It was banned because he wanted to do social engineering.
Hmm. We're talking...
It's just amazing.
If you've joined us a little bit late on this segment, if it's your turn, we're talking with L.K. Samuels. He's the author of a book entitled A Killing History, subtitle The False Left-Right Political Spectrum. Can you talk, sir, a little bit about what you think are the biggest myths in 20th century history that impact us today?
There's so many. One would be Karl Marx was a national socialist. I found one of his quotes saying, "We got to go to war to Russia for the greater glory of better interest of Germany." I mean, he was a pan-German. He supported Germany coming together. That's a myth. There wasn't much of an international socialist movement. It pretty well dissolved by World War One. The other myth is, and this was interesting. This came from a quote from Hitler from a 1920 speech that was unavailable until recently. Wasn't translated. It was not on the internet until recently. And he said, "We're socialists, and if you're socialist, how can you not be anti-Semitic?" And so I had to look at all the early socialists going back to 1820 and found that they're all anti-Jew. Marx was very anti-Jew. There's things I can't even pronounce over the radio, the words he used against the Jews. That's because they were capitalists, and you know, and they're financiers and merchants and artists. Socialists don't like bourgeoisies, and they were it. So that's another myth.
How have some of the past wars, two big ones in the 20th century, gotten us where we are today in terms of political ideologies?
Well, if you go back to World War One, you know, if we hadn't really gone into World War One, there probably would not have been a World War Two. A lot of historians have said that. I didn't really get into that too much. But generally, wars make countries more statist, more controlled by the government. And usually, the war is over, they don't, get rid of these bureaucracies, to spy on you or whatever. It just, makes the state bigger. And pretty soon, you're over there looking like the countries of Europe in the 30s and 40s. So wars generally are not something I really like. But, there are such things as defensive wars, the American Revolution War, when the country attacks you like World War II, you have every right to get involved. But as for politics, it does make the state stronger, and that's a problem.
Is that what you mean by the term statist? Because I've not come across that term before. You're talking about a very strong government when you say statist?
Yeah, statist. Yeah, on the book title, there's a second section to it. I go back to the French Revolution. I consider, it was the classical liberals and all that, Thomas Paine, that started the French Revolution. And they sat on the left side. The authoritarians sat on the right. And that's the way we should do our political spectrum. Communism, fascism, all should be on the right. They're authoritarian. But you could make a case that they're left and switch it around. It doesn't really matter left or right. It matters what you believe. Do you believe in individualism, property rights, that people should be left alone, that people people should run society, not government? I would just try to steer clear of the authoritarian socialist.
One of the parts of your book is entitled Modern Liberalism. Is liberalism different today than it was decades ago?
Oh, yeah. It keeps changing. It keeps going more towards socialism and authoritarianism. I mentioned I'm involved in a peace coalition, and hard to work with because they're so economics are not very good. But I've been telling you that the conservatives have more liberalism than the modern liberal does.
Do you have? Are you optimistic about the future of America in terms of we seem to have so much tribalism today? Is there any chance that people will be able to work together?
I don't know. I mean, we have a long tradition of working together, and I have my opinion, you have yours, and you're not going to try to shout me down. I'm not going to try to shout you down. But as you keep moving towards fascist Marxism. I don't know. We'll come back to what the founders were. I don't know. Most civilizations just have one golden period, and that's pretty well it.
Can you tell us a little bit about your background, L.K. Samuels? You're a writer. Have you taught, or what's a little bit about your background?
Well, I was on my college newspapers. I was editor for a while for my college paper. I'd done undergrounds, too, and I've started up a number of organizations like Rampart Institute and Future Freedom Conference Series, usually on a campus. I've been pretty active since about high school. I had a guy come in and speak about Czechoslovakia and how he snuck in and snuck out, and that guy eventually became a congressman. And I got that in a civics class. I don't know if they do civics classes anymore, but I was really impressed what he said about the Czech people and what the communists had done to them.
There are pictures of three individuals on the cover of your book, Killing History. One is Hitler, one is Stalin. Is the other Mussolini? I'm not sure.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. The one with the hand up, the Mussolini, and yeah, and they're all wearing red armbands. They had pictures of Hitler wearing a communist red armband in 1919, you know, and he was actually part of the Red Army of Bavaria, according to Thomas Weber. These are some new books that have come out that found the archives of Hitler's barracks, and they, you know, he was voted. He threw his hat in the ring when the communists took over and wanted to be part of it, of the German Communist Party. And he was in the propaganda department, and he did not leave, you know, when things got tight. Because when the communists took over, they started to kick people out of their homes, shut down shops, they took hostages, shot them, tried to get rid of money. Lenin kept calling up the leader of the Bavarian Soviet Republic, kept saying, "Have you nationalized the banks yet?" And Hitler was a low-level leader, and he was eventually arrested and interned with his whole barracks, and finally he realized that if he kept a communist stand, that he'd probably be shot. And so when he asked him, "Are you a communist or what?" he said, "No, I'm a social democrat."
Hmm. One final...
And which, you know, later on he said he believed in national social democracy. He kind of moved away. I think that scared him when, you know, when he had all these street battles in Bavaria. Thousands died. The supposedly the Bavarian communists had about 20,000 or 30,000 Red Guard members, and the German Republic brought in maybe 40,000 troops, and there were street battles, and you know,
what?
But it was a hairy time, and the book called Becoming Hitler talks a lot about it. It's a German-born historian, and a lot of my material comes in that book.
A lot of food for thought.
I mean, about Hitler.
A lot of food for thought in this book, listeners. The title is Killing History, The False Left-Right Political Spectrum. The author is L. K. Samuels, with whom we've been talking for the past few minutes. Nice to meet you, sir. Thanks for being with us here today.
Okay. I appreciate it.
Hi, this is Dave Malarkey. I'd like to talk to you for just a moment here about the good folks at the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here at Butler. What a great job they do to help those who are less fortunate in many ways. They operate the St. Vincent de Paul Food Bank, of course. They have their St. Vincent de Paul Thrift Store in the Greater Butler Mart and their Client Aid Program. And the Client Aid Program helps needy families or individuals, maybe with help on a heating bill or a rent payment at the end of the month. Client Aid. And that's funded through the operation of the thrift store. So you can help by donating items that you no longer need or want to the thrift store. It's very easy to do. Drop-off bins are right inside the door. You can use the container outside. They're located in the Greater Butler Mart. So think about it. Next time you're cleaning the closet or the upstairs, instead of throwing that stuff away, why not donate it to the Society of St. Vincent de Paul here in Butler? We stand tallest when we stoop to help others.
Hi, this is Howie Pinckney with Pinckney Capital Management in Portersville. Today, many people need help managing their investments. The investment options available today can be confusing. If you would like to talk to someone for help, why not call me for an appointment? Howie Pinckney at Pinckney Capital Management, 1284 Perry Highway, Portersville, Pennsylvania. My telephone number is 724-368-4224. Securities and advisory services offered through Commonwealth Financial Network. Member FINRA, SIPC, a registered investment advisor.
Are you looking to buy a house for the first time? At Armco Credit Union, they're known for competitive rates and low fees. But did you know their mortgage specialists will work with you every step of the way to make sure your best interests are served? Call the mortgage department at 724-284-2020 and ask them about their first-time home buyer program that allows a minimum down payment of only 3%. Don't have time to call or visit? Simply apply for a mortgage online, armcocu.com. Armco Credit Union is an equal housing opportunity and is federally insured by NCUA.
Thursday night, the Penguins meet the team that ended their season last year for the first time this year as Pittsburgh travels to New York to battle the Islanders. Penguins live pregame on the air at 6:30 p.m. and then game action gets underway at 7 o'clock p.m. Penguins and the Isles on the Penguins Radio Network.
Pittsburgh Penguins hockey brought to you in part by Fairground Market,
Negley's Bottled Water and Coffee Services, Thrower Concrete, Next Tier Bank, Camisa's Auto Body, Butler Agway, Cash Dollar and Associates, also brought to you in part by A&D Heating and Cooling, Vin and Joe's Inn, Tom C's Cafe, Monday's Shoes, and Schneider 1 Hour Heating and Air Conditioning.
Thanks for joining us for today's edition of It's Your Turn with Dave Malarkey here on WISR 680 AM. Today's broadcast is also archived for you online at WISR680.com. Tune in again next time for Dave Malarkey's It's Your Turn, weekdays from 1230 to 130, right here on WISR 680.
Why am I losing sleep over you? Reliving precious moments we knew. So many days have gone by, still I'm so lonely and I guess there's just no getting over you. Prison walls of my mind, there's still a part of you left behind.